Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the finfanatic.com website and the Fan Sided Network. I'm Brian Kat, NFL. Paul is fanatic underscore pick. So quite an eventful day. Day one of the free agency tampering period. News is going to start getting crazy here. Already has been throughout the league. And it started out, Paul, with Emmanuel Ogba re-signs his contract, 4 years, $65 million. And Mike Gesicki also signs his tender, too. So both of those guys are going to be back in Miami last year. And when you take a look at these unrestricted free agents lists on Pro Football Talk, Pro Football Focus, all ESPN, all these different websites, on some of them you see both Ogba and Gesicki, even before the franchise tags were put out there, as top 25 free agents. The Dolphins retained both of them.
Yeah, and they were the two biggest key free agents Miami had out there. I think it's a little surprising that the offensive line market for Miami has been quiet thus far, even though it's been very active around the league. I know a lot of teams got some last-minute signings out of the way to re-sign players before they could hit the market. There's a lot to like with what we came out of today with, though.
Yeah, there's some I liked, some I didn't like toward the end, and we'll get to that. So just sticking with Gesicki and Ogba, I was really 50-50 on Ogba as far as bringing him back. I've always thought he's a very good player, great fit, somebody that you signed a couple of years ago. He's clearly outplayed his contract, and I like that he and Jalen Phillips can come off the edge in certain looks, and then you can also pin your ears back and get three defensive tackles on the line of scrimmage and blitz from the outside. I like being able to have both of those looks, and now the Dolphins are going to. But I always said about 3 years, $45 million. And if you take a look at this contract, if you take out the last year, where if you just take the next 3 years, it's basically a 3 year, $45 million contract, where the Dolphins are only paying Emmanuel Ogba $7.6 million here this upcoming year.
Yeah, I mean, you said 3 years, 45. I said 4 years and 60, and we were both right in the neighborhood, especially. Like you said, the cap number for this year is $7.6 million. That is phenomenal for a player of his caliber. And the fact that you can really get out of it after 2 years you're going to have a $6.5 million cap hit, but if for some reason he falls off a cliff and is no longer the player that he was in 2024, you can save $12.5 million by releasing Ogba or trading him. So there's a lot to like with this contract, and I like the fact that Gesicki's back on his free agent or his tender.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like that's going to be disputed. I mean, he could still, but
he signed it at this point, so we're good.
Is that 100%? Like he can't? Okay.
It's you have to dispute it before you sign it. So
okay,
he
got it.
As a tight end on the franchise tender.
Got it. I knew that. Come on, Kat.
All right. It's been a long day.
It sure has. Talking about offensive line, there's still a lot of really good names out there. It is surprising that the Dolphins came away with four free agents in day one of the tampering period, and not one of them was an offensive lineman. So running back Chase Edmonds from the Cardinals, wide receiver Cedric Wilson from the Dallas Cowboys, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater from the Denver Broncos, and just over the last few hours, cornerback special teams ace Keon Crossan signs for 3 years, $10.5 million. And Keon Crossan was actually drafted in 2018 out of Coastal Carolina, I believe, by Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And he's bounced around the league, was with the Texans for a couple of years. We'll get back to him in a minute. But staying on offensive line, Paul, yeah, a lot of guys were signed today. Brandon Scherff goes to the Jaguars. Obviously, Orlando Brown and Cam Robinson get the tag. A few guys were signed, but you still have some players out there.
You do, and on top of that, and just for our listeners out there, because we've already been asked about it in chat, there was a fake rap sheet out there that tweeted out today that Miami traded a fourth and a sixth for Lyell Collins. No one has traded for Lyell Collins as of this moment in time, but the Cowboys have made it pretty clear they're going to release him if they don't manage to trade him. So I think there's a few standoffs going. I expect him to get some interest as far as that goes. But Teron Armstead's still on the market. Morgan Moses is still on the market. James Daniels, if you want to upgrade at guard or center, is on the market. There's a lot of guys still sitting out there. And really, what Miami has to do is upgrade the tackle position. We've been very clear on that all offseason. The resources they have, they've got a ton of guards. I know this has come up before, but I'll say it again here. Some of the players on Miami's roster I don't think are lost causes. I think they've been badly coached to this point. So kicking them in, as we've talked about extensively, letting them battle it out like Highlander for the interior of that offensive line. Dieter is definitely more than decent at center. It's really the tackle spots that are scary at this very moment in time. But the way that they structured Emmanuel Ogba's deal allows them to go out and still be able to spend the money to get two offensive tackles in this free agency class.
Yes, and also today, two right tackles were released. Darrell Williams from the Buffalo Bills, he actually kicked inside and played right guard this past year when they drafted Spencer Brown in the third round out of Northern Iowa. And I don't know why anybody ever moves Darrell Williams away from right tackle, because anytime he's ever played left tackle or guard, he's been terrible. Every time he's played right tackle, he's been really good. So that could factor in as kind of a one, maybe 2 year rental. Same goes with a name that we should be familiar with from the 2014 draft. And that's Billy Turner, who actually ended up going to the Packers, signing a big contract with them a couple of years ago. Still a good player, still more of a run blocker than a pass protector. But you know, if you're looking to just hit those two offensive tackle spots, those are a few names that are also added to the list. And the Cowboys have until really March 22nd to release Lyell Collins. I would imagine they would hang on to him unless they really need the money, or that's when they have to pay him the bonus, really. So they probably will hang on to him unless they need the money.
I think they'll end up trading him, but right now, because everybody knows they're going to release him if they're not able to trade him, they're hoping somebody just gets happy feet and swings heavily. Well, you know, I think if somebody throws a third round or higher at this point, I think they'll blink. But I think everybody's holding back and basically going like, look, you're getting rid of him regardless. I'm not giving you better than you know, a fourth or a fifth or whatever. I mean, the trade compensation from that fake tweet was not horrible today.
Right, it wasn't. And I'll tell you, I agree with everything you said. I don't even think teams are offering more than a seventh right now, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. Because they, for the same reason you said, is, you know, even if it's a fifth rounder, sometimes these fifth rounders, you know, could turn into starters. I mean, not all the time, but you got, you know, and once you do that, you know, teams like stockpiling those fourth, fifth round picks more than we probably would. But when you look at it right now, Paul, the way I look at it with the offensive line is, if you're telling me that you're going to nail both tackle spots, shove all the rest of the resources in the middle, meaning you've got Dieter at center, Robert Hunt stays at right guard, and then you've got Eichenberg and Austin Jackson battling at left guard. With the success that Mike McDaniel had in San Francisco, I'm probably taking that at this point.
The one thing that I wouldn't do, and this is based on some injury stuff, and I don't want to beat the Teron Armstead thing. We've talked about it in our last episode. People can check that out from this weekend. I would not want to have, and this is my ultimate would not want, I would not want to have Lyle Collins and Teron Armstead, because I think with that scenario, you're going to end up in a, if that's where Miami ends up, they're both very good. They are both very good, but I think we're going to end up in a scenario at that point where we may see 4+ games this season where we're right back with Eichenberg and Austin Jackson starting an offensive tackle, which terrifies me and doesn't justify the signings. You need to have at least one durable tackle, whether that's a Morgan Moses or one of the other guys that are available still on the market. You just cannot put yourself in a scenario where you make those premier signings and have to put those two back at tackle again.
Yeah, and we're not going to agree on that, because I would take Armstead and I would take Lael Collins and find another guard somewhere along the way, but put yourself in a spot where, hey, you know, Eichenberg and Austin Jackson have played enough tackle to where they can kick back out there if need be. Yes, there is an injury concern. I'm willing to take that risk because I think it's so hard. I think it's so important to keep Tua protected here this year. So we'll see. We've had that conversation. We don't.
And we're agreeing to protect Tua in with different points, and they're both valid. So,
yeah, you bet. And that's what makes this this conversation fruitful. You bet. And yeah, I mean, again, I'm not panicking right now. I said from the beginning, you have got to get either Armstead or Eric Fisher. To me, those are one of the two mm-hmm. guys you got to have. Joe Noteboom was re-signed by the Rams today. He was kind of more of the sleeper, unproven type guy, but I don't think he would have been worth that. I mean, so you've got Eric Fisher, you've got Teron Armstead, you've also at right tackle, you've got Trent Brown and Morgan Moses. You still have Dwayne Brown, who's 37, but still has been a solid pass protecting left tackles as far as we can remember. And then at the guard spot, James Daniels, Connor Williams, that class is starting to dwindle. And then at center, you've got Bradley Bozeman, who's the best center now with so many guys off the board. Matt Paradis is somebody from the Panthers. I think that even at 32 fits the offense pretty well. So certainly not done here along the offensive line, but if we get to tomorrow and we see 4 or 5 more of these guys come off the board, that's when I'm going to start getting a little bit worried.
Yeah, if the tackle position starts looking like where the center position is at right now, that's when I'm going to start going, ooh, this is not good. And the interesting thing, too, and this is a weird signing I'm going to talk about because it wasn't won by the Dolphins here. The signing of the Jaguars, or by the Jaguars, of Christian Kirk is going to eat so much salary cap space across the NFL because they gave him an exorbitant amount of money for his performance thus far in his career. And he's a guy that you remember I pounded the table for and have liked, even back to the draft when he came out. But he's almost going to reset the wide receiver market across the board from some of these guys that are available out there and what they're going to be asking for. Davante Adams is going to get a ridiculous amount of money if he signs at all, because I think he's going to refuse to sign his franchise tender and fight like crazy. And it's rumor has it that he's going to be looking for somewhere around $25+ million a year. This wide receiver market is going to be insane, and the after effects of cap space for these teams out there may allow some of these guys to slide to the Dolphins.
Yeah, possibly. And yeah, 4 years, 72 million for Christian Kirk. That could be up to 80. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
You could go to 84.
Yeah, that could be up to 84 million. Yep. This guy's never had a 1,000-yard receiving season. it's crazy. But it also shows, too, that if you're, you know, he was the first pick of the second round back in 2018. You know, good size, good speed, check marks a lot of boxes. Has gotten better every single year too. So Yeah, but still, that's nuts, and I agree with you. Because you've got guys like DJ Chark out there who are Marcus Valdes-Scandling, who I think people are going to be shocked at what they end up getting over the next couple of days.
Well, and I'm willing to bet the Jaguars could have had DJ Chark back for less and help justify the ridiculous spending spree that went on in Jacksonville today.
I don't know if you saw it. They just signed Zay Jones a few hours ago.
I did see that. Like
so Zay Jones, Evan Engram, Christian Kirk.
Holy Fatu Kasi, baby.
Fatu Kasi, yeah. You're UConn. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, he's from UConn. UConn. He's
Foley,
UConn.
Foley's UConn.
Fully fought. I knew that from the Jaguars.
Brandon Scherff wasn't.
The linebacker from the Falcons they signed, he's from Yale. So yep. Olafon, he's from Yale. So yeah, they spent a lot of money today, no doubt. And so let's finally get to the Dolphins free agent signings here today. So they signed four players, and the first one, Chase Edmonds. I mean, they did not waste any time. They were clearly eyeing this guy for a while. I mean, it was like 15 minutes into the tampering period. He reached an agreement with the Dolphins. I believe he was the first one. 2 years, $12 million. I was a little surprised at the speed that he got, that they agreed to terms with him on. $6 million, I wouldn't have guessed, but I guess it makes sense. He's 25 years old, coming off his best season, 12 games. He had over 900 total yards. You know, two stats that I want to throw out with him are two metrics. He is, of all the running backs who had over 100 carries last year, he was sixth in yards per carry at about 5.1. And Pro Football Focus in the passing game ranked him as a top 10 player grading out. So can catch the ball, obviously has a lot of speed. And, you know, for a offensive coordinator like Mike McDaniel that has produced so much at the running back spot with so little, to go out and spend $6 million a year, obviously he thinks a whole heck of a lot about this guy.
So I like Chase Edmonds a lot. I don't think he's the be-all, end-all answer at the position. I think he makes up for some speed stuff with smarts, because he ran, what, a 4.51? I think was one of his best 40 times out there.
Yeah, which is okay. I mean, that's not great. It's okay though.
But I mean, he makes up for some of it with his smarts. But one of the things I saw with him is he's decisive. He does see good lanes. He's not a big yard after carry or yard after contact guy, and he's not a big yard after catch guy in a lot of scenarios. And that's where I do think they still need to supplement in the draft at this point. They still need to try to bring back Duke Johnson. I think Chase could definitely be a factor for them, and I think he could do a lot of things in this offense, especially with his smarts. But I don't think he's going to be that breakaway threat that a lot of us would like to see.
Yeah, Duke Johnson, free agent, and I'm surprised the Dolphins have not brought him back. You know, I know they had the coaching switch, but if you have Duke Johnson and Chase Edmonds at running back, I'm not saying that's phenomenal, but I think you've got two very capable running backs, at which point you get into the draft. Yes, they're probably going to add somebody else along the way in the draft, more likely in the mid to late rounds, more than likely, but you don't have to draft a running back. You don't have to draft one anywhere, even though they probably would in the mid to late rounds.
Yeah, I still wouldn't pass on a Breece Hall. I still wouldn't pass on a James Cook. And, you know, looking beyond Chase Edmonds today, looking at Cedric Wilson, I think some of the guys like Cook that are multiple in the way that they can be utilized role-wise are going to be something attractive to this staff. It's because you look at, like, Cedric Wilson, just to go to our next guy, he's a guy that not only gets separation, gets yards after catch, but five times in his career he's been called upon to throw the football. And that's gone for five completions, 111 yards, a touchdown. And these weren't freak passes. They were good passes if you go back and watch each of them. So being able to run a reverse with him and have him throw the ball, being able to have him drop back 5 yards, catch it, what's really a lateral, and throw the ball down the field to somebody like Jaylen Waddle, who gets an extra step based on the trickery, is another arrow in the Mike McDaniel quiver now moving forward. So guys like that are worth their weight in gold in this offense, and the deal that he got is not an exorbitant deal, especially when you look at the Christian Kirk deal, because this is a guy that's had the opportunity to prove himself as he's improved each and every season and really had a breakout year.
I agree, and I loved everything about this signing because I was surprised he didn't get more. I mean, 3 years, $22.5 million, $12 million, $12.5 million guaranteed. Yep. That's nothing. And I'm not saying this guy's been a world beater, but this was somebody incredibly talented at Boise State. I mean, his final year at Boise State, he had over 1,500 yards. The year before that, he had over 1,100 yards. He got drafted in the sixth round. I thought he was going to go higher that year, but he ends up going to the sixth round to Dallas. He's, you know, buried on their depth chart. He probably would have been a much more productive receiver and put up more numbers had they not drafted CeeDee Lamb and traded for Amari Cooper and drafted Michael Gallup. And when he got his chance this past year, he finally shined. And I think the arrow was very clearly pointing up with him. And I'm surprised he didn't get more than that in the open market. So he can play in the slot even at his size. He's got a little more shiftiness for a big receiver. He's a little bit better after the catch. He brings the versatility as far as, you know, if you're going to call on him every couple of games to take an end around and throw a pass. I mean, yeah, I like everything about this. The question now becomes, does he actually replace Devontae Parker on this team?
No, I don't think he does. I think Miami's receiving, I think he replaces Albert Wilson. I think Allen Hurns is even more of a goner at this point. Maybe he pushes Isaiah Ford off the roster, but I think there's roles for both of them. Devontae Parker, when he's healthy, has dominant games, and I think Mike McDaniel has a way to utilize him there where maybe you're not reliant on him being there. But again, it's Devontae Parker at his price point is a steal right now. A steal.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I hope Parker stays, because if they trade him, look, you know, somebody who hasn't been able to stay on the field is going to be 29, I believe 29 this year. I think he's 28 right now. He's going to be 29 this year going into his eighth NFL season. Yeah. I mean, the arrow is not pointing up as much as it was before for Parker. So, yeah, I hope they do keep him. I wonder if there's some overlap with Cedric Wilson and Devontae Parker because of their size, especially along with Mike Gesicki. But we'll see, and I hope they keep all of them.
What I'll add to that as well is if he takes some snaps away from Devontae Parker, do you remember a few years ago when Devontae Parker was on the cusp of basically being cast off and started getting benched for games and suddenly got that chip on his shoulder and started coming in and taking games over? I think Cedric Wilson can be that push for him, as well as I think the way that Miami's going to utilize Mike Gesicki this year. So I think Devontae Parker's going to get pushed, and I'm sorry, you're not going to find a receiver in that $6 to $8 million range per year that's going to do what Mike Gesicki does.
Yeah, I think when you look at the value of
Devontae Parker.
Right, I know what you meant. I think when you look at the value, just dollars and cents of this receiving core, Mike Gesicki, you know, $10.8 million is going to play for this year. Devontae Parker, what's his cap numbers? What, eight, nine million range? Somewhere between 8 and 10. Jalen Waddle playing on a rookie contract. Cedric Wilson, now you see the contract he just signed. Those are four weapons there in the passing game, and you're not paying any of them $17 or $18 million like a Christian Kirk is going to get this year. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's something to get excited about.
Devontae Parker's making less than half of what Christian Kirk is this season.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And so now, yeah, I was feeling pretty good about the day, a little disappointed that the Dolphins didn't have an offensive lineman yet, but I feel that's going to be coming here over the next couple of days. Then right after Cedric Wilson, I'm really feeling good about Ogba and Gesicki, Chase Edmonds, Cedric Wilson. Then they signed Teddy Bridgewater. Now, I know a lot of people like this signing. I'll tell you first, I did not. And what he signed $6.5 million, which at face value is not not a bad contract. Okay. I mean, this is someone who just over the last few years, you look at the Vikings, the Broncos, the Panthers, all agreed that this guy was able to be put in at starting quarterback and to plan for that. Now, I don't know if that was a good decision, but I do not like the idea of ending the day signing Teddy Bridgewater and Keon Crossan, a cornerback special teamer from the Giants, when the Dolphins have such needs on the offensive line and middle linebacker and good players out there in free agency. You're going to spend $10 million this year on two players who are not going to play on offense or on defense unless they are forced to have to play. And I don't like that when the Dolphins have such gaping holes on their offensive line right now.
The Keon Crossan signing, I'll agree with you on. The Teddy Bridgewater signing, I won't. And here's my thing, especially given the fact that Tua's gotten hurt before, you need somebody that can come in and start a few games for you. Teddy Bridgewater can do that. He's not good enough to push Tua out of the lineup, but he's good enough to step in and potentially win, you know, and go on that run like we talked about with Fitzpatrick a few years ago, like we talked about maybe Jacoby Brissett could do. They improved the backup quarterback spot for $6.5 million with a guy that can come in and win some games for you. I think he had, what, 67% completion or 67% completion percentage last year, threw for 3,000 yards. His touchdown to interception ratio was good. And I think he can step into an offense run in the same style as Tua. And I think it also gets us away from that stupid third and one, fourth and one, bring Jacoby Brissett in and do something stupid like we did last year. And I know I said stupid a lot there, but that Jacoby Brissett short yardage offense was an idiot call last season. And I'll stand by that until I die.
Yeah, I heard everything except that he's a good quarterback. And you're paying him $6.5 million.
I mean, that completion percentage, the touchdown to interception percentage, I do think he's a good quarterback, and I think he can run the offense if called upon. And you have to have somebody that can step into the role as a backup quarterback to potentially save your season if that's the case, especially if either A, we may not sign an offensive tackle, or B, we may sign two injury-prone offensive tackles, which either one of those is a recipe for getting your quarterback killed.
So we're talking about high completion percentage, few turnovers, efficient play, somebody who can step in if need be and win some games for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that sound like? I feel like we just had somebody like that on our roster.
Not Jacoby Brissett.
Was it Jacoby Brissett? Yeah, I think we were talking about that 1 year ago today. And turns out
the best option behind Tua then. This is the best option behind Tua right now.
I like Brissett. Excuse me. I like Bridgewater more than Brissett. I do, because I think Bridgewater is a very, very low-end starter, mm-hmm. where Brissett was not that. I thought he was an average backup.
Yep.
So
we can both agree that Teddy Bridgewater is better than if you took – and I put this point out there today in another aspect. But if you took the best qualities – of the now top three quarterbacks on the Pittsburgh Steelers roster, put them all together to make one super quarterback, that quarterback is still not as good as our backup quarterback right now. Between Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Dwayne Haskins. That is a recipe for horridness in Pittsburgh.
I take Trubisky over Bridgewater, but
no,
that's not a worthwhile argument.
No, it's not.
But here's the thing about, well, Keon Crossan too, as far as special teams, we have to remember too, Clayton Fedulum, we hope, is going to get the axe sometime soon. So that's a core special teamer there. And then at receiver, Mac Hollins is not under contract. Doesn't look like he's going to be back. So yeah, they need somebody that can really come in. So if Keon Crossan could come in and they feel that he has a lot more potential on defense, kind of as a, you know, sixth or seventh defensive back than he has shown, and he's a great special teamer, yeah, maybe he justifies that contract and they're thinking, okay, we can cut Fegulum. We don't have to re-sign Justin Coleman or somebody similar to him. We don't bring back Mac Hollins. And Keon Crossan could fill a lot of those different roles. That would make a little bit more sense to me. But still, I don't like the ending of the day spending $10 million on those two players.
Well,
but,
and here's the scenario as well with that. That brings us down to roughly, you said Keon Crossan's $4 million a
year? Three and a half, yeah.
Three and a half
million. I've looked at the contract, how it's structured, but it's so, 3 years, $10.5
million. At a guesstimate, that brings us down to $37 million. You need about $10 million to sign your draft class, which brings you down to $27 million. You can clear up to $20 million in cap space by cutting like something like seven players. But again, you also have to take that $20 million not to go down a rabbit hole, and probably for if you're doing that to sign one player, you're probably going to have to sign another six that are going to make anywhere from $800,000 to $1.2 million. So you can clear about $14 million by clearing those seven at that point. So
sure,
it's, you know, you're still talking about $40 million in spendable money depending on what you do here.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you there. That's the thing too about Bridgewater and Keon Crossan there too is, look, if at the end of the day if we're sitting here in 2 days and the Dolphins have signed a Teron Armstead or an Eric Fisher to play left tackle and a Morgan Moses to play right tackle or Lael Collins, they've made that work. You're not going to hear a word from me about Bridgewater or Crossan. Because they to me, at that point, they did what they have to do. But if I hear that they got outbid on Armstead or Fisher because of a couple of million dollars that they didn't want to spend, that's when I'm going to look at these free agent signings like Crossan, like Teddy Bridgewater, and say you should have addressed and you should have put the exclamation point on your most important two needs that ruined last season. So we'll see what happens there. I fully expect the Dolphins to do that. If I can't see them going into the season or even into the draft with the offensive tackle position, the state that it's in.
Yeah, and that said, I would re-sign Mac Hollins at this point. Matter of fact, if push came to shove, I would literally take Clayton Fegulum's salary and give it to Mac Hollins and cut Clayton Fegulum. And
makes, yeah.
It's, I, in all honesty, I think Mac Hollins is the better special teamer. I think he can impact the game at times on offense, as we've seen. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be shocked if he could play safety as well or better than Fegulum. Like, there is no comparison for me between the two.
Yeah, so, Paul, looking at the rest of this free agent class here, too, I mean, with what's left out there, and there's a lot out there, any one position kind of stick out to you as you know, outside of offensive line is really – having a lot of value that we think we could get like a week into this here and, you know, the Dolphins could really get somebody of value.
I mean, I think there are some deep cuts on the wide receiver position. I think there's some deep cuts on the cornerback position. That said, I was very disappointed when, Devondre Campbell re-signed with the Packers, especially at 5 years, $50 million, $10 million a season. The impact I think he can have on a game, and I think he could have had in Miami. I would have done that, you know, every day of the week. I do think that there needs to be something at the linebacker position, even if it's for depth at this point. And, you know, I still think we need to draft somebody at the linebacker position as well.
Yeah, I agree. And linebacker, yeah, that's where I see a lot of value. Because the Dolphins are looking again, if we keep bringing it back to as a comparison, somebody who's better than a Landon Roberts, or would be an upgrade over a Landon Roberts. Mm-hmm. And there are, I see 10 to 12 guys that would fit that bill. I mean, now Leighton Vander Esch, because with the neck injury, I've taken a step back on him a little. I mean, that's tough to mess with. But I mean, Dante Hightower still out there. I mean, A.J. Johnson, who I'm a big fan of for the Broncos.
I was just going to bring him up. So
yeah, I mean, Rashawn Evans. I mean, Lawan Bentley from the Patriots, who's really slow but is a thumper.
Anthony Barr. You know,
Anthony Barr. I'm not a huge fan of his because his now he's 30, his athleticism's gone down. But yeah, you've got
he could come in and fill a role, and you could easily draft somebody that if they're not ready on day one, could easily replace him during the year, and no one's going to freak out.
Yeah, I for me, I'm staying away from Barr. Just I've watched the Vikings defense a lot the last couple of years, and he is so out of position, and I think he just doesn't have the athleticism to make up for it. But he has a name out there, so we'll see what he gets there. A couple of other random guys, Ray McLeod from the Steelers, probably won't cost a whole heck of a lot. One of the best returners last year. I was hoping the Dolphins were going to get a Cedric Wilson at receiver, as well as either Braxton Berrios, who re-signed with the Jets, who we both would have loved for his price tag of about $6 million a year. I think Ray McLeod is kind of a little bit of a step below that, but still one of the best returners in the league and was also improving as a receiver throughout the year with the Steelers too. He's somebody I'm keeping an eye on.
Last I checked, if you're looking for a return man, there's someone that our listeners may or may not have heard of and would probably freak out at, but if you're bringing him in as a return specialist, it might work. Jakeem Grant, I think, is still available, if you haven't heard of him.
Yeah, I'm surprised he is. I mean, he's the best returner out there. I don't think the Dolphins go down that road again, but, you know, I mean, if we're talking just talent, yeah. I mean, yeah. But if not, best of luck to Jakeem wherever he goes. I'm always rooting for him. I think it's way too early on day one to get into punters. But if you can take Brian Anger off the free agent market for $4 million a year, I think you're getting a top four, top five punter. And this is a guy that was drafted in the third round, long time ago. But, I mean, made the Pro Bowl and has a great all-around punter, can flip field position. I think he'd be the best punter the Dolphins have had since probably Reggie Roby. I mean, Brandon Fields maybe, but he's somebody I'd be interested in too. So linebacker, punter with Brian Anger, as well as a couple of these wide receivers are interesting. Also, Rashad Penny, I'm going to throw in there too. If he is not trusted around the league, which I'd understand, if you can get him for a couple of million a year, man, I'm doing that all day.
Yeah, I mean, and a couple other positions that are still very deep in free agency. Safety is a very deep position right now in free agency. It just doesn't make any sense. And that's where it doesn't make sense to cut Eric Rowe, because if you cut Eric Rowe, you're spending the money to sign somebody to replace him. Like I said, corner, edge still has some depth. Defensive tackle still has some depth at this point. But again, nothing that makes sense for the Dolphins in those regards. I mean, really, Miami's focus right now, above and beyond all else, needs to be the offensive tackle and that linebacker spot. Those are the two biggest needs for this team. I think Miami could drive forward if just with those moves alone.
Absolutely. And I'm sure we're going to see some free agent signings from the Dolphins tomorrow, as well as from the rest of the NFL. We're going to try to hop back on here tomorrow at the same time. We'd love for you to join us. And that's going to do it for our breakdown of day one of the NFL's tampering period with the Dolphins. We have four new Dolphins on the team. And I'm Brian Catt, NFL Pulse Fanatic _pick. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the FinFanatic.com website and the FanSided Network. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.